another episode of Scott Speaks on the Broke Pod Network. October 17th, 2024. Here in Studio SLC, had full intentions today of recording with Todd. Gonna fill you guys in on our weekend away in the Colorado Mountains, which happened last weekend. Had a very good time. But Todd is too tired to record tonight. He left to head back to Baltimore area Monday night on a red eye. And again, as I sit here, that was the 14th. As I sit here, it's the 17th, and I guess he hasn't recovered yet. Because when I said, are you ready to record at such and such a time, he said, no, I'm too tired. So, okay, no worries. I mean, aren't we all tired? But so here I am. Just doing a quick Scott Speaks with you. And then for those that listened last week, so the pod that was uploaded last week, it was actually a kind of a short one where Todd and I recorded in my living room when he was in town last Friday, 6 days ago, or 7 days ago, I guess, because we had to do a quick pod because he had failed to send me the audio file of the podcast that we recorded last week. So, what does all of this mean? It means that you're hearing this. I'm probably going to upload this on Sunday, which will be the 20th. And at some point between now and Sunday the 20th, if Todd ever sends me the audio file from the podcast we recorded a week ago, you will hear that. So, all sorts of out-of-order podcast situations happening. And it's by the way, it's possible I could upload this one this week and the next one, or the now what would be the oldest of the three I'm talking about on next week. We'll just have to wait and see. But anyway, so yeah, so coming at you live from Studio SLC. And just going to be a quick, I mean, not super quick, but a quick-ish Scott Speaks edition for you today. And what I wanted to talk about, I've been, for whatever reason, I've very much been in a retro mood recently. We talked on the podcast you haven't heard yet, or maybe you have by the time you hear this, on the podcast that I have not uploaded yet, because Todd has not given me his audio file. I mentioned a YouTube page called Retro Ricks, and it is a he's a video game store owner, both new and used, I do believe, although mostly used, hence the name Retro, who owns a store, looks like a pretty dope store, not gonna lie to you, in Conway, Arkansas. For those of you that know Todd or I, or Todd and I, we actually lived in Conway, Arkansas for a year when we were younger. I was in sixth grade and part of seventh grade. Todd was in ninth and part of 10th. And it was not a fun experience. We had grown up in Columbia. I mean, Todd had a little bit of time in Charlotte. That's where he was born. But we had grown up in Columbia and certainly did not want to move to Arkansas. But there we were in the prime of our youth being uprooted from our homeland and moved to Arkansas, and it really sucked. But we made the most of it, and years later, you know, whatever. I hold no grudges towards Arkansas, specifically Conway, which is just north of Little Rock. But it's not the point. The point is this guy owns a video game store there, and it seems like it's a really cool video game store. He seems like a really genuine, nice guy. And he's got a pretty entertaining YouTube page. Check it out. It's called Retro Ricks, as I mentioned. And so I've been watching some of his videos, and in one relatively recently, I don't think it's his most recent one, but sometime in the last couple of months, he uploaded one where he was talking about, you know, is the end of physical media coming soon? Physical media, meaning people that collect DVDs, people that collect video games, people that collect all that sort of stuff. Because so much nowadays, you know, in terms of video games, you download it to your computer or your phone. In terms of in terms of movies and TV shows, you just stream it off your TV. You don't have to go to Blockbuster or Redbox, was one of the things he was mentioning in this video that I was watching. You don't have to touch anything, just your remote or your phone, and you are streaming things right away, right off of your phone or your TV. And so it's a weird kind of change. And, you know, he was speculating that, you know, we might have another generation or two that will care at all about physical media, and then it'll just be completely gone. Everything will be online. Everything will be in the cloud. It'll truly be the relics, both in actual, you know, concrete things people are holding, and the actual people themselves will be relics that collect those things. And one of my very good friends who was in my wedding, I was also in his wedding. I lived with him for over 12 years, if you include college. Adam, C. Adam Tyner, shout out, Adam. Hope you're doing well. Is a gigantic DVD, Blu-ray collector. And even he, years ago, would kind of pare down his collection. Now, I think he was doing that because he literally ran out of space. He had several thousand DVDs, Blu-rays, HD, whatever. Because he'd write reviews for years. He still does, to the best of my knowledge. He would write reviews of movies. And so he would get sent the physical media, write the review, keep the item, and it turned into a massive collection. I mean, I'm not going to, and he would also buy stuff that he wanted, of course, if he was unable to write the review or just chose not to. I'm not even going to venture a guess as to the total value of his collection. I can tell you that he used to, and probably still does, he would track what he paid for it versus maybe he just tracked what he paid for it. I don't think he had the actual value because that would be constantly changing. But anyway, and, you know, for a long time, he would, let's say he had 5,000 DVDs that, let's say they average $20 a piece. You know, you can do, most people do the math. Todd can't. You know, that would be worth $100,000, right? 5,000 times 20. It's $100,000. But he would have only paid, let's say, for, you know, 500 of those 5,000 DVDs. So he would have paid 10,000. Total value of the collection was 100,000. I'm obviously just simplifying this for the sake of doing math in my head while talking, but that was the way he tracked it. And again, I think 5,000 is probably an exaggeration on the size of his collection. If he were to ever listen to this, he'd be punching the whatever listening device he was listening to going, "You should know, Scott." And actually, now that I think about it, let's see if while I'm talking, I can look it up. Because I think, or I know for a long time, there's a place. There was a place where you could look it up and track it. And I am finding that now. So, but anyway, so he, you know, had that sort of a crazy collection. And, but that's, I don't think that's the norm anymore. I think that is more a, you know, that's that collector life that a lot of people do not do anymore. And so it's funny, I guess he took it down, unless it's like a secret. I know, I'm positive he used to have the full list, and now that I can't find it, I'm very disappointed, because I feel like it's here somewhere. But anyway, I'll have to find the route. So yeah, so that's the question. Sorry, I am not able to do this clearly. That's the question, is, are you is anyone out there able to continue to collect physical media anymore? And will that continue to be a thing? Again, the crux of this video, as I was watching, is that Redbox declared bankruptcy. and so they went down, and they were kind of the last bastion. I mean, look, at people don't, a lot of young people do not realize that, guess what? Netflix, I don't know why I said it like that. Netflix started out as one of those, just like Redbox. You literally would have to go and, they did mail order. That's what it was. Man, I'm really not paying attention. I feel like Todd all of a sudden. They did mail ordering. So you would mail order a DVD, a video game, what have you. They would send it to you in the mail, literally the CD. You would watch it. You would return it. You'd have a queue, like a list of movies that you wanted to watch. And until you return the last one, they would not, or when you return the most recent one, they'd send you a new one, and so on and so forth. And that was crazy. Like, crazy, what's the term I'm looking for? Like forward thinking, that sort of a business. Hey, we're going to send you something. You're going to watch it, enjoy it for as long as you want. But until you send it back, you only get a new one. But as soon as you send it back, if you have a list, we'll send you the next thing. And I feel like I watched it actually. Maybe I'm just imagining that I did. But there was, I believe, a documentary that talked about the history of that sort of a business. And maybe I'm making that up. I'm looking it up right now. Unfortunately, I put in Netflix documentary, and it's like, here's the top 20 documentaries on Netflix. No, I meant the documentary about Netflix, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It talked about mail order type businesses and the rise and fall. And, I think for a brief instance there, they actually sent out like essentially cable boxes that you could stream from. And then it wasn't long after that, it's like, wait a minute, cable providers now will allow you to stream. TVs will allow you to stream. The internet has become, omnipresent, and everyone can stream. So that quickly, over the course of a few years, went from a viable business where they were, again, sending out physical DVDs and Blu-rays, and all of that just went away. And suddenly mail order ended. But again, that was where I think they had it right versus Redbox. Now I'm questioning if Netflix ever had those boxes. I don't think they did. I think Redbox just did. But anyway, but Redbox hung on. If they just recently declared bankruptcy, I mean, when's the last time, and this is of course why they declared bankruptcy, when's the last time anyone actually used a Redbox little machine out in front of Walmart or a grocery store or whatever? I have done it. I did it in the past, but it was at least 10 years ago. Probably closer to 12, maybe even 15. So the fact that it's still kind of in existence is kind of shocking. But in any event, so that's the question. That's the conversation for this evening, is in all aspects, not just movies and maybe video games, but is that era over, where anyone, any kid nowadays, preteen, teen, whatever, do they care at all? Do they even know that it existed in that form at some point in the past? First of all, I'm not sure that they do. I'll say that. But second of all, even if they do, do they care? Like, do you want to have, you know, the booklet on the inside of a game or a movie? Do you want to have the disc? Like, I think about CDs. I have a box, a gigantic box in my basement right now as I'm speaking to you that has, I don't know, 400 CDs in it. And that's not just the discs, that's the plastic case with the booklet. And again, do I care about the booklet? Not really. And honestly, the reason I'm hanging on to that stuff is just because, and I literally meant to do this like 2 years ago, but just because I want to have access to that music. I do have access to that music via Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple, whatever. If I wanted to listen to it right now, I could pull it up and play it. But I do kind of like having those CDs. And so the question becomes, okay, but it takes up a lot of space. True. How do you resolve that? Well, there's a couple different ways. You can get, I would have to get several, but you can get one or several of those gigantic folders and put the CD like in the booklet and then put those in each of the, you know, the spaces and in the folders. That's one option. But then, you know, how do you get the back? Do I want to pull out the back page, for lack of a better term, of the CD case? That seems like a real pain in the ass. You know, I like being able to look down the spines of CDs and tell what I'm listening to. And let's say I did put all those CDs and all those booklets into a folder. Well, now what am I doing with it? Am I going to try to sell it? I will tell you that just on Monday, just 3 days ago, I was in downtown Denver. It was the end of our kind of guys trip, guys weekend, if you will. And we were at a record store, just kind of killing time. Because again, as I mentioned, my brother and several of the other guys had later flights. So we left the mountains, come down the hill from Breckenridge, and we were just kind of hanging out in downtown Denver. Went to a record shop, which had two halves. One was kind of new stuff, and the other was all used records. And Todd, as he's talked about on the show on several occasions, likes to pick up jazz records. He also picked up a hardcore record, which I thought was pretty funny. He was literally in line. I was like, "Oh, do you see this?" And I showed it to him. He's like, "Oh, I'll get it." I was like, "I wasn't trying to make you buy it." But anyway, I think it was like $3. It was a 7-inch. but it was interesting because they had way back in the corner where probably no one goes, they had, I'm going to guess, 600 or so tapes, like audio cassettes. If you're under 25, let me explain to you. You used to be able to take these, I don't know, 3.5 by 2.5 inch tapes and put them into a tape player in your car or in your, you know, in your home stereo system, boombox, what have you, and listen to tapes. And they would play, and they were not the best quality. And you can't skip to the next track. You'd have to hit fast forward and like, wee, 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 wee. And you'd have to guess as to when the next song started. And you'd listen to music that way. And by the way, when tape decks got really advanced, at least in several cars that I drove, and yes, just so everyone knows to get out of the way, my current car does have a tape deck. That's how old school I am. But anyway, in several cars that I drove, you could hit fast forward and it would seek through the tape to the blank spot. And so you could kind of get to the next track, technically. A, it was never perfect. Sometimes it would skip through the rest of the song that you were listening to and the next one because it wasn't easily identifiable as to where the break in the songs, you know, in between the songs were. And B, it still took a second. It wasn't instantaneous like it is with CDs or certainly something like Spotify or whatever people listen to all their music on nowadays, where you just hit a button and you're immediately on the next track. So again, you know, walking to school uphill both ways in the snow. I know I'm an old man, but that's how we used to listen to music. That's how we used to get music. there was no better way. There was not a more common way. That's just how you listen to music. Like, love it or hate it. And so, anyway, so I'm in this used record store, and I just see these stacks and stacks and stacks of tapes. And it was really fun to go through. They had a bunch of old stuff. They had Huey Lewis and the News sports album. They had, I'm trying to remember some of the things that I saw. They had a Gene Krupa, who was arguably one of the best, if not the best, big band drummers of all time. And on most people's top five list of drummers, period. They had a Gene Krupa tape where it was like four or five tracks per side. So yes, again, kids out there, tapes had an A side and a B side, just like records have two sides. And you'd listen through one side and then you'd flip the tape over and listen through the other side. But at the end of side one and the beginning of side two, I was looking at the liner notes, if you will. It had like Gene Krupa speaking about something. And I think he was like giving a like an audio drum lesson, which is just so insane, but so awesome at the same time. So anyway, it was just pretty cool to flip through some of those. Oh, they also had the South Pacific. Yes, the musical South Pacific, the soundtrack to South Pacific. I'm not sure if I've talked about it on this podcast before. I probably have 5 years of doing this podcast. But that was one of the plays that I did. Who am I talking about 5 years? 7 years doing this podcast. Good Lord. That was one of the plays that I did in high school was South Pacific. And I damn near bought that tape. And these tapes were $3, $2. Some were marked up a bit because they were marked up in price, meaning like $5 or $6 because they were a little more high-end. Again, not the audio content, but like a little more on the rare side, if you will. But yeah, several other, aside from South Pacific, several other like soundtrack tapes and several other, you know, bands or singers. They had a Michael McDonald or Bruce Hornsby tape. And again, I had driven down there, after this adventure in the record shop. We ended up going back to my house, having dinner, and I took my brother and one of our other friends to the airport to catch their red eyes back home. But I legit had a thought. I was like, my car is parked outside. I have a tape deck in my car. It's a couple dollars. I should buy one of these tapes, if not several tapes. I ended up not doing it. And I'm just as I'm talking about it, I kind of regret it because why not? Like, who cares? I could have spent $10 getting three tapes. Even if the sound quality was bad or whatever, like just to have something, I say something new to listen to everyone out there is like Huey Lewis and the News sports albums, 40 years old. True. So it's not that it's new music, but something I just wouldn't otherwise listen to, but to be able to have that physical media in my hand and then put it in my tape deck and listen to it would have been pretty cool. So now I very much regret not doing that. If I ever go back there again, maybe I'll pick up one of those tapes, or all of those tapes that I just mentioned. But again, it was fun having that experience of going through the tapes, pulling them out, looking at the tape itself. And I think that's one of the reasons that Todd likes to buy records, or people that Todd or anyone else who likes to go to a record store, flip through the records, you know, literally putting your fingers on the product, and finding that album that either you've never heard or you've heard is good. And you're like, all right, well, let me buy it and take a listen to it. And it was interesting because when we left the record store, we went to a place and got some afternoon tea and crumpets. I'm only half lying. We went to this little coffee shop and hung out for a bit before we ended up leaving downtown. And walking on the way over there, we were talking about how record stores like that stay in business. And the way they do it is they'll mostly, when they buy, because of course they're buying product, they're buying stock to sell, of course, at a higher price. It's the only way you'd be able to stay in business. But is they would have someone come in and say, look, you know, my dad died, my mom died, whatever. He, she had a great record collection. as part of their estate, we're going to sell it. And you might have a record collection worth, let's say, $100,000, and a record store buys it for $10,000 or $15,000. And that's a big investment for a store like that, I would imagine, especially this one, because downtown Denver could not be cheap land and space that they're in. But you buy it for that price, and then you it might take you 5 years to sell it all. However, as I think it was Taylor was telling us this story, one of our friends was with us, you know, you might go through that collection that, again, is probably valued at $100,000 or more, and you find 10 or 12 of those $1,000 records, those real rare records. You put those out in prime real estate in your shop, along with all the other ones that are, you know, 10 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. You fill up your bins with those smaller price records. And within 6 months, if you sell some of those big ones or sell a lot of those smalls, you might make back your $10,000 or $15,000 investment. And then everything else is gravy for you. But that's the point, is that it's so often when people die, like that's the age of people that are aging out of the physical media. Now, again, you have people like Todd, who's middle-aged, admittedly, but they were seeming like the employee there was probably in his 20s, maybe early 30s. So there are people that are still into it, and there will always be people that are into it, but I think that market is definitely shrinking. And my point was those big collections only recycle back into the market when someone literally dies. And it's funny too, and Todd and I have talked about this probably on the air, possibly off as well, is that Todd knows that his collection, he has some nicer pieces in his record collection, some records that are worth more than just a standard, you know, $5, $10, $20 record, some that are $100, a couple $100, whatever it is. And he's told me that he's made it very clear to his family, look, you know, I don't expect you to get full value. You know, if Todd dies before the rest of his family, he doesn't expect them to price it all out and put it up on eBay individually. He knows it's probably going to go either to a friend who will be a good, who's, you know, still living, who they know would be a good caretaker and could give them a good price and would enjoy the records. Or if you're going to sell it, just make sure you don't give away the farm, so to speak. Like, know the value, try to get decent value out of it if you're not going to keep it yourselves. And knowing my sister-in-law and my nieces, they don't care about Todd's record collection. They would not keep it. They would sell it to someone else. But again, that's just going to continue happening. People are going to keep passing their collections on to the people that are still around and interested in it. And so those private collections just get a little bigger until those people pass. And then again, it goes on to someone else. So it's just a matter of, will it continue to circulate through the ecosystem one record at a time via a used record store? Or will those eventually go away too? And circling back to where I started the show with this guy that owns and operates a retro video game place. Again, I think he sells newer stuff as well, but I think the bulk of his collection and the bulk of what he sells is literally like NES games, GameCube games, SNES games, and systems, and, you know, again, the physical media, games that have the booklet with them, those sorts of things. And I mean, I think it's super cool, but those are the things that I played when I was a kid. And I think his point was, kids nowadays, like literally 2024 kids, are playing things on their phones, their iPads, or their computers. Some kids still have physical consoles, but a lot of those consoles, like PS5s, I think this is true. I'm not up with the current console technology, but I'm pretty sure those consoles, you can buy a console and literally never buy a physical game. You just buy it online and it downloads the zeros and ones on your machine and you play it through your console that way. you know, you probably log in with a profile or whatever. I'd imagine that's how it works. So that will continue to be the more pervasive way of playing, so that when kids who are 10, 12, 15 right now, in 30 years, 40 years, are the middle-aged people, they're not going to want that physical game because they never knew of that physical game. So unless it's passed down from the current older generation, like myself, like Todd, and again, this goes for music, this goes for video games, this goes for anything, then they're going to lose that interest. And so that's why just playing the numbers, playing the odds, it's likely that eventually, at some point in time, all of that's going to go away. And, you know, I could broaden this to antiques, like antique stores, right? People like to go, some people, I'm not one of them, but some people like to go antiquing. And that means you go to an antique store, you might buy an antique piece of furniture, an antique piece of flatware, you know, bookstores. That's something I should have mentioned. People actually like to read physical books. Hell, libraries, totally different conversation probably, but it's related. You know, what's the likelihood that in 10 years even, if we add up all the retro shops, all the antique shops, all the libraries, in 10 years, are there going to be more of those or fewer of those? And I think it's inarguable there will be fewer shops like that, bookstores, all that sort of stuff. And so that's my point, is, and then 10 years beyond that. But the question is, you know, in 2034, are there going to be 5% fewer stores or 25% fewer stores? And then again, 10 years after that. So that's the only question, is how quickly this decline will happen. Not if, but when. And it's sad. For people of my age and older, and maybe people a bit younger, people much younger, like certainly my daughter's age or my niece's age, they don't care because they never knew. They never had that experience. They never held a cassette tape. They never held a CD. They've only held a all-in-one machine. I'm now holding my phone. No one can see this. Holding my cell phone. An all-in-one machine like a cell phone, like an iPad, etc., that does all that stuff for them. And so my suspicion is that in 25, 35 years, the cell phones, the iPads, those will be the things that people will be selling as retro technology. But I don't know how much, I don't know if there'll be the same grasp on the memories of those things, because as great as my cell phone is now, I think about even my cell phone 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it was garbage. It was green screen. I think I had a blackjack game that was very like TI-82. If you know the reference, you know the reference. And I'm sure cell phones 10 years from now will be even more awesome than they are today. And so do I see any value in picking up a first generation iPod or iPad or a flip phone? No, I really don't. So I don't know if that same thing's going to happen. And I don't know what that means for things like antique stores, retro stores, etc. You even use record stores 20, 30, 40 years from now. So time will tell. You know, 40 plus years, I'm not sure I'll be around to even see what that looks like. But I guess my message for you, if you're still listening, is if you are one of those people that do have the ability and the capability to pass things down to the next generation, and by things, I don't literally mean things exclusively. I mean those things, the physical media items, and the love and enjoyment of those physical items. If you have the ability and capability to do that, I would encourage you to do that. Keep that stuff alive. Keep that interest alive in the younger generation, so that maybe we can keep these sorts of used stores, antique stores, bookstores, record stores, retro video game stores, keep them alive and well. And and keep the memory alive. Because again, when I go back and play an NES game, whether I'm playing it on my NES system, which I do still have an old school NES system, I also have a retro system which plays a number of different games. I could also play them on emulators on my phone or the computer. But whatever, when I go back and play them, I'm not playing them because the graphics are so amazing or even the gameplay is so fun. It's just because it takes me back to that time. But again, I don't know if that sort of memory recall is going to continue to be a thing for future generations. So if you're able to, keep that hope alive. That's my message for you guys tonight. That's it. I'm not sure when this is going to be uploaded, as I already described earlier in the show. So don't know what you've already heard, what you haven't heard, but hope you enjoyed this one. Check us out, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. That's the email address to send us any suggestions or ideas. If you have any ideas for the script that Todd and I are writing, certainly shoot us those at that email address. Or bropodnetwork.com is the website, just bropodnetwork.com. And of course, you're listening to this on probably Spotify or something along those lines. So thanks for listening there. Like, subscribe, comment, share, tell a friend, do all that shit, as I like to say. And that was it for this episode of Scott Speaks. I thank you, as always, for listening to my babble. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, see you.